It is Tuesday morning, the 6th, and neither Brian or our talk shop guest are here in the studio, so this is quite a predicament. Oh, our mystery guest has arrived.
Well, good afternoon. I'm doing this like you, Brian. Good afternoon. Happy May.
You know, if I could think of a Yoda line at the moment. The only one that keeps popping up is the David Carradine.
Ah.
Grasshopper.
I can't grab a rock out of your hand quick enough to make that one fly. Yeah. So. I'd be stuck there forever.
Yeah, no kidding. I think a lot of us are stuck wherever.
Oh, you said forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. McCauley is alongside. Are you ready for your question here?
I am ready. Are you ready for my question? That's the bigger question.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. Why is 13 an unlucky number? Not that accountants are numerologists, but
I don't know. I don't even have a dumb guess.
Shot in the dark? Because 1 and 3 equals 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some attribute this superstition to the Last Supper, at which there were 13. Christ and the 12 disciples.
Okay.
Though this perception may have been strengthened by superstition, the fear of 13 actually predates the Last Supper. Its origin is found in a part of Norse mythology having to do with a banquet at Valhalla at which Balder, the favorite of the god, was killed by Loki. I guess that name's now popping up a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, it's okay. Only 12 gods had been invited to the banquet, but Loki, the spirit of discord, intruded, bringing the number to 13.
Okay,
so it's even spelled the way that they're doing it on the TV shows now and in the movies.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I knew how to pronounce it.
Yeah. So it's all banquet related, really?
Yes, it's all food. It always gets back to food, baby.
It always circles back to.
So talk to us about your travel experience. What is the tourism industry out there like?
You know, we went to Alaska to visit our son and daughter-in-law.
North to Alaska.
We went north.
No singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we went north to Oregon and flew to Seattle and flew to Alaska.
That song never made it, did it?
We touched ground in several places. But anyway, the point being we went up and spent a week with our son and daughter-in-law in Alaska. And it was interesting, particularly on the way back when we hit Seattle late last week, and I guess maybe it was in anticipation of the 4th of July weekend. I don't know, but the Seattle airport seemed to us to be really busy. Lots of people moving around and whatnot. And, of course, being public transportation, you know, everyone was masked or made some semblance of masking. So that was, you know, interesting because, as we've transitioned out of, we went to Alaska, masking really wasn't an issue. Matter of fact, I don't think we found somewhere where, other than the airport where we had to wear a mask. Or where people really were. You still saw some folks, and you can tell that they have a sincere health issue or some other reason why they want to do that. But for the most part, it was kind of a mask-free thing. But, boy, the Seattle airport was busy on July 1st or 2nd. Or
was Medford?
Medford was not as busy, although when we boarded in Alaska coming back, there was a long line in TSA because I went through to. I had trouble with my getting my bag tags, and so I had to go to the customer service. And the woman, she says, "When are you flying out?" I said, 12:45, and she looked at me and kind of raised her eyebrows, like, "You better hurry." And so anyway, we made it through with plenty of time, but it does appear. I mean, clearly, the volumes. I flew up to Alaska last year for a week-long fishing trip and, had the COVID test on the way out and whatnot to be able to do that. And, of course, the airport was very, 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 very quiet.
Tough to find a hamburger on the run, huh?
Last August, very quiet. And yeah. So on the way up, I was in Seattle again, and that was pretty quiet again a year ago. So, what our experience was is that the world is opened up. We went down to Homer for a few days and went out on the spit in Homer, if you're familiar with it, and if you're not, it doesn't matter. But there's a point.
Baudet, baby.
There's a location out on the spit that goes into the Mackinac Bay there at Homer. I might have mispronounced that. We went down there with Neil and Michelle, and they both said, "Oh, it's not as busy as we thought it would be." So they didn't think the volume of active, but it seemed fairly busy to my eye. But I don't know. So
I'm curious what the cruise industry, whether you're in Seattle or Vancouver,
I didn't see a cruise ship anywhere.
Yeah, but would you have where you guys were?
I don't know if they go into Homer at all. I'm assuming that some cruise ships may go there. I think a lot of them, depends on the – I don't know if – I've been on one Alaska cruise, and that was a number of years ago, and we went to Juneau, Glacier Bay, Ketchikan, and Sitka. So that was our Alaskan stops. So we were kind of on the southeastern side of the state at that time. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the cruise ships, but it is interesting. I mean, what we've seen some large airline orders for planes, so that's interesting. And I don't know exactly what happens when you mothball a plane for an extended period of time, what it takes to bring one back.
Really big moths.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, if you take a 737, take it out of service and set it for 9 months or a year, what do you have to do to bring that thing back?
And how often do you have to do it to make sure that you did it right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'd heard different things about that some people were like, were implying that you just let them go because it was going to be too long. They were going to be shut down.
Just too much.
Tomorrow. Yeah, and I don't know if that's true.
Then they go out to Nevada and live there.
Yeah, apparently.
Boy, we drove by that one time. It was weird. I mean, it was really like a plain graveyard. It was strange. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, yeah, okay. No.
He's
we changed our attire during the break.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Looks a lot like what I was wearing before.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But now it's on the right side. Okay. So as you understand it. Okay, now we're going to allow a certain latency here of knowledge, but as you understand it, is everything next year supposed to be kind of back to the historical norms of quarterlies, fiscal years, reporting periods, all those things that kind of went up in the air sideways? Has there been any kind of indication what to anticipate, or is it still kind of everything up in the air and the dust is still settling?
There's still some dust out there, and we're aware of some of those things, and we're kind of going, all right, we're focused on other things right now, and we'll worry about it as the year moves along. One of the things that we're a little concerned about is there was the what's going to happen with unemployment benefits coming into the coming tax year for 2020.
How long or how they're reported?
For how much is taxed and how much is $10,200 going to be excludable again? There's just these interesting questions. I may have said this the last time I was here. I'm personally a little concerned that we've crossed the Rubicon as far as tax law changes during a tax season. Historically, in my career, very little has changed once the tax filing season has started. So that, in general, there have been clarifications, there have been revenue rules, IRS has issued interpretations. But this year, Congress passed tax law in March that was retroactive to 2020. And anyway, I just am afraid that that barrier used to exist. You know, we can't make a change in the middle of tax season, that'll foul everything up. Well, now they've done it. So I don't know if we'll ever go back. I'm worried.
They didn't see anybody jumping off the 14th floor.
Yeah, I'm just worried this is just from my own little view of the world, right? You know, I'm just worried that we may be in a place where now we're going to see tax law changes in the midst of filing seasons that are substantive and that are law change. And that worries me because it makes things extremely difficult for those of us in the profession to deal with those kinds of changes. And so that's one of those things I'm not sure about. And so we'll see what happens. What we've seen over the years is that there's kind of a just-in-time mentality when it comes to dealing with problems. There's kind of a...
Just a news time.
It's not... Well, it's when it becomes important to the political class that's when things get done. It's not when it's really... It's not when the problem is identified and it's more... You know, solutions don't get done necessarily because they're indicated. They get done because we're running out of time and we have to fix this, and sometimes those fixes aren't the most elegant.
Doing that, it's not clear and cut, because then you guys need the interpretation from whoever needs to do it, and then the implementation.
Yeah. So it's an interesting time. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect this coming year in terms of, you know, are we going to be
It is an election
proactive
year.
Yeah, well, in California. Are we going to be proactive with dealing with these problems? Probably not, because we tend not to be. And, you know, candidly, we don't really get what we pay for when it comes to, from that perspective, in terms of what we're getting from our elected politicians. But, you know, they got a lot of other things. Look, the taxes is one little issue compared to all the other issues that are out there. And nobody knows what 6 months is going to bring in terms of...
But for the voter, it's a pocketbook issue, and that tends to be the motivator for a lot of the electeds when their voting constituency starts to uncomfortable or make comment.
So is it
a pocketbook issue?
For enough of the voting public to make it something that causes politicians to be uncomfortable.
Well, we'll find out with the unemployment support. What is that thing called officially?
What's that?
Monies from either the state or from the feds?
Unemployment benefits?
No. The $300 or the...
That's a kind of a one-time, that $300, it's unemployment benefit.
Okay.
And they receive that, and people who are eligible for it receive $300 a week. Until it ends, which I thought was going to be August, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. So that may require some more legislative action. I'm not sure about that one. So,
has there been any clarification about the amended returns? You'd mentioned that, I don't know, a couple months ago, that keep changing the laws, and then people have filed, and now there's the retro, and hey.
Yeah,
or is that what you're looking at for the next 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, that's one of the issues out there is particularly as it relates to unemployment benefits. We file tax returns. The IRS is going to fix some of the issues, but not necessarily all the issues that could exist with unemployment benefit taxation. And so that creates some issues on our end trying to navigate those waters.
Amended returns?
Potentially necessary, yeah, but not for everybody. So that's the problem.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, are you hearing anything out of the state of California about their approach to taxes, surpluses, rollbacks? Let's see, what else might be a positive? Forgivenesses?
Yeah, well.
Anything along those lines?
Keep in mind, I'm just back from being gone, so I was less engaged in the day-to-day of things than I might otherwise be. California has gotten through a budget. They've done that through they did the patch a budget, and then they've been working on it. And there does appear that they're going to continue to do recovery rebates from California rebates, which
to who?
To people who made $75,000 or less, who probably didn't pay as much tax as they're going to get back to them, in a lot of cases. So that'll be a number of people who will get the recovery rebates will be they'll be in a position where they'll have received more than they will have paid, but that hasn't really been a priority, and I'm not saying it should be. That wasn't a federal priority either, but it does. There's always a question when you're when you rebating money to taxpayers. If you rebate to some taxpayers and not to others, and particularly those that paid the tax, then there's some interesting questions there. That been said, the way you read the tea leaves, or at least the way I do, which is I'm not a trained tea reader.
Yeah, or tea drinker.
Huh? Yeah, I'm not even a tea drinker. So, I don't think that matters. I don't think that matters to the politicians. I don't think anybody's particularly worried about it. So I think California's going to do what California's going to do. Unfortunately, we have a lot of unfunded obligations in the state of California basically the liability isn't on the books. For retirement benefits and other things, post-employment benefits and other things that are not really...
You see, they're not on the books, aren't they? Somewhere?
Well, yeah, they're disclosed. Somebody knows
or
the number.
Or that book is just around the corner.
It's not part of a balancing set of books. I mean,
okay.
And so it's off book, and so we don't deal with it very well. And we just, if you look at PERS and STIRS, and I haven't looked at any of those things in a while, but they're assuming they're going to make 7, 8, 9% a year, which happens some years, but then a lot of years they don't make anything. And so anyway, the problem is that the actuarial assumptions that are underlying some of these pension benefit calculations are not valid and are not going to hold up, and so those liabilities continue to grow. And yet when we have excess money, we're tempted to use it for other priorities. And it's just a question of, at what point does your fiscal house cease being in order? And I don't know the answer to that, and I don't know if anybody really does. I don't know.
Hopefully we won't.
Yeah.
Take somebody to grab it by the horns and kind of rein it in a little bit.
Yeah, so anyway, it's an interesting time, and of course, there have been so many winners and losers under this whole time we've been in. I can point to clients who haven't really, business clients who haven't really had availability of much in terms of government assistance, in terms of loans or other things because of their situation. And I've seen some others that have been able to avail themselves of lots of government stuff, and that you know, are were in better shape to begin with. So it's there's winners, there's losers, and you know, I think we have to just grin and bear it. We also have to know we live in the greatest country that, you know, has ever been. And that's, you know, anyway. So we can do a lot of stuff, and we, you know, these are things, these are priorities we should be able to figure out and address. So,
do you see any significant structural changes happening either in light of the last 18 months that are going to impact either the way either we do business or the way that our the businesses we work for do business? Or is it kind of the same old, and, you know, that's just kind of like it's a cloudy day, and some days are cloudy, and some days we have sickness coming through?
I do think that businesses change, on average, business is changing a bit with what – I think when we get on the other side, fully on the other side of the this COVID issue, and we are now looking at it in a rearview mirror, our forward view mirror is going to look different. You know, some businesses are going to operate differently. I also think things as simple as it used to be when I flew and I saw people wearing a mask on an airplane, I thought it was strange. I don't think it'll ever be strange again. I think people are going to, you know, I think people are going to choose to do what they feel. You know, I think we're gonna go into stores and see people choosing to mask or choosing to, you know, so I think our businesses are going to be the same way. We're gonna have change. So things are not going to be exactly the same, probably for most of us. And I think in some cases the changes are going to be significant, especially where you know places where people don't go back to work. I mean, what's going to happen with the real estate? That creates some real estate issues. And other things, when you think about, oh, wait a minute, so many people are going to work from home. And, you know, that in some respects, that potentially has a potential to save resource because you don't have people driving as much and using public transportation. So there's a whole bunch of interesting questions that I don't know if we've been able to get our arms around.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So here we are, new fiscal year, at least for the governmentals, 6 months-ish for having to do what we need to do. Are there any significant changes we have to pay attention to? I mean, are you hearing things that sales tax in Eureka went up last week?
Yep.
Do we track that all of a sudden? I mean, is there anything that we should be doing differently or just kind of keep listening and watching and doing?
I think you have to keep executing. I think you have to be, you know, ears up, eyes up, and looking to see what's coming, because
it's a plane reference, right?
I don't know.
Wheels up?
Yeah, well, wheels are get wheels up here a little more than we used to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that, you know, we all need to be alert to what's going on because things continue to change quickly. I mean, could you conceive of this COVID thing turning another way again? Yeah, I could see it. I'm not saying I want to. I obviously don't want to, and I obviously am hoping that won't happen, but could you see it? Yeah. So, I mean, I think we all need to be, you know, paying attention to, you know, to what's going on around us and understanding that we, as time goes on, businesses in particular need to be more nimble. We need to be able to react to changes in volume of, I mean, look at, try
plus and minus.
Yeah. And it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, you look at restaurants trying to open and how do they get staffed up? You know, the
That seems to be the question for the industry right now.
It's a huge question. I think we're seeing it in Eureka, where restaurants would like to open, but they can't get enough
bodies
to do that. And you can also see why, if somebody is sitting at home and they're getting $300 a week, and their kids are in school or working, have been doing the school by Zoom, and for somebody to go back to work and give up the $300 a week and incur the cost for childcare or whatever else, you can certainly see why people have been slow in some cases to go to move back into the workforce. So, we need to think about that, and are there ways we can incentivize that as opposed to, and there have been very good reasons, apparently, why we've incentivized people to stay home. The idea was, let's not make this bug spread around anymore. So the idea was, okay, we're going to pay people to stay home. Well, at some point, how do we change that model? How do we
merge it into something that's sustainable?
Yeah. And if you need daycare, where do you get it? Because, are there daycare providers out there? I don't know. What's going to happen with the schools, and how open are they going to be? And, there's so many questions, and you think about, these are the decisions that people are being impacted by, that businesses are trying to get those folks to come to work. And people are doing what's best for them, which is what they should do. But it sometimes isn't very, it's not necessarily, doesn't happen elegantly.
Yeah, it's never smooth. Yeah. It's always herky jerky.
Yeah, we clunk and bump, and so we're still clunking and bumping as we go along, figuring out how do we go from here to there.
Other than paying attention to what's going on, are there any canaries that you're looking at to say, okay, positive?
Well, I think, this is just my own personal canary, because our office is right beside Lost Coast Brewery.
When that opens.
I'd like to see that open. I'd really think that would be good. I mean, traffic downtown, there's pros and cons with people drinking and coming out after drinking too. And, we've seen some of that, broken trees and, things sometimes get damaged
But there's a vibrancy
with the activity. I miss the Arts Alive. I miss the,
Well, that was last week.
I miss seeing from my office, looking and seeing people showing up to go to the symphony. All those things that would show a return to more normal. And, symphony will be interesting, because probably on average, the people who attend symphonies probably skew older than people who go to rock concerts. Although it depends on the rock groups. Because, anyway, most of the rock groups I like are all on Social Security.
Can you be a rock and roll band and in a wheelchair at the same time?
Right on.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are all really interesting things, and I think I'd love to see some of the vibrancy return, and right now
the essence of the
town. For the last year, largely the people who've been moving around outside my window at my office have been people who are down on their luck, and I'd like to see that balance change, and I'd also like to see us figure out ways to help. That actually does help people if they're down on their luck to change the circumstances rather than maintain them in a bad way.
Yeah, it's even when we get through this, there's always more challenges that are there.
And those aren't that's not going away. That's the problem for the age right there.
Had to bring up age, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Smart guy. I think the when the towns don't feel like nobody's there, I think that's the weekend in the middle of winter, if that's not the feeling, if there's cars parked on the side and there's stuff happening, then we're there. Nice to see you again.
Good to be back.
Lovely Alaska tan, by the way.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.